And now we're going to pray. Let's come together in prayer. Glorious God, we thank you for the joy of singing your praises. And we thank you that every word we've been singing is true. We thank you that your glory is bigger than the universe and brighter than the brightest sun. We thank you that your glory is revealed in everything that is part of our lives. It's revealed in the world all around us and in your goodness to us. We thank you for your forgiveness, that you're a forgiving God, that that's part of your glory, that you're a God of grace, a God of new beginnings and new starts, and that's what Jesus is all about. And we thank you that you're a faithful God, always with us. And so whatever we face in life, we never have to face it alone. And we simply ask now that you would give us a glimpse today of your glory and your grace and your faithfulness. And bless us all with a sense of your presence as we worship you. We ask this in Jesus' name, and we join together now and pray in the words that he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, today is going to be one of those really, really busy services where if you blink, you'll miss something, okay? So just hang in there. We're going to be going quite fast-paced. We're going to introduce the Discovery Program today. The Discovery Program is a program that's been devised by Tear Fund. That's an aid organization, but devised for any church anywhere. So there's churches in Africa using this program, and there's churches in England using this program, and there's churches all over the world using this program, and we're starting with this program today. And it's a program designed to enable a church to serve its community better. Okay? And we thought, there's a core group of us, we thought when we met to plan today that that the best way we can start thinking about how to serve our community better is by thinking about how we already serve our community, because we're already doing a fair amount. Okay? So we're going to show you what that's all about. Nikki, come on up here. And Linda and Derek, if you could come up too while she's getting here. I should have invited you up already. Linda and Derek, up you come. Quick. Okay, Nikki.
Hi. The vision that I had was the southeast of Edinburgh as a dance floor, and God was up the front giving us the steps that we were to be dancing. And all of the churches in the south Edinburgh were on the dance floor together, and specifically Liberton Kirk. One partner for Liberton Kirk was the Discovery Programme, and the other partner for Liberton Kirk was the Huddle. And just that God was really pleased at our dancing together, so that was happening.
That's not bad at all. Okay, Linda, what are your hopes for the Halls?
Video, DVD, or whatever it was, of what's going on in Liberton, amazing. And to see everybody smiling, I know we're not always like that, and you might come across sometimes the Hall, and some of us are a bit grumpy, but it was fantastic to see. And, you know, Monday Cafe, there's so much going on there. And I think that's just a snapshot. There will be things missing from the clips that we've just seen. But the hope is that although we're doing loads, there's maybe room to do some more too. And we hope to extend our welcome to Liberton Kirk Centre and do a few more things, possibly having more cafe time there. I'm just looking into that at the moment. And just welcoming community, and we're part of that community. Many of us live in the community surrounding Liberton. Some of us travel in, but we're still part of this community of Liberton Kirk. So it's a great things are going on, but there's room for more things, we hope and pray. So please pray for the development of what's going on in the Kirk Centre. And I think it's going to be lovely once it's opened up. It's looking great at the moment. So we look forward to seeing more of that.
Brilliant. And Derek, please explain what this discovery program is all about.
Okay. Well, I said a little last week, but I'll just repeat some of that and a little more. Our stewardship season leads us to turn our attention to our talents and our gifts. We're particularly interested in how we might use them to serve others out there in the parish or the community. In other words, how we might have a greater community connection and involvement than we have at present. The church is the only organization that exists primarily for the benefit of those not currently connected to it. You need to read that a few times. You need to read it. This powerful statement helps us to focus our minds on the mission of the church, which is the only mission we have. God's plan is to save as many as possible. And to do this, he's chosen to do it through the church. If we were to call this Plan A, we ought to be aware that there is no Plan B. We intend to implement Tear Fund's Discovery Program. Discovery is a toolbox of activities and ideas that we can use to discover more about our community. What issues people are facing, how common the issues are across the community, and how we might as a church use our talents and skills to help. In other words, how we might connect. Today, we're at number one. We're celebrating. We've formed a team of 8 people who will gather the information from many sources and, when completed, present to the church their findings at stage 3. Our next step will be to identify areas that we might be able, equipped, and motivated to tackle. There's no time limit to the whole process, and it's continuously evolving. Discovery is not primarily a way to grow your church, although it may result in growth taking place. It's mainly a vehicle to assist us in serving those around us as part of our mission and calling towards them. Liberton already has a good history in this regard. We will also be able to share our findings with our partner churches in the southeast of Edinburgh as they too engage in the discovery process. And lastly, through this process, we'll have the opportunity to let people more clearly see God's great love for them demonstrated on earth as it is in heaven.
Thank you all. Give them a big round of applause. Why not? And hang on to that vision, Nikki. It's the sort of thing we need to print on our website or something like that, just so it doesn't evaporate. Right, it's time for some singing. So let's go. Let's sing a well-known song. If you know the actions, join in. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Shall we stand?
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and the
All summer we've been looking at the miracles of Jesus in John's Gospel. And today we're going to do a wee bit of revision. We're going to return to one of them. It's found in John chapter 6. If you want to look up in your pew Bibles, it's on page number 1069. John chapter 6, and reading from verse 1 up to the end of verse 15. And it's a story about the feeding of the 5,000. And this is what happens. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish," he said. "But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in the place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed it to those who were seated as much as they wanted, and he did the same with the fish. When they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. So there's the story of the feeding of the 5,000. I want you now to use your imagination a bit and think of how it might have actually all turned out a bit differently. Okay?
And in those days, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee.
And a great crowd of people followed him because they had seen the miraculous signs he had performed upon the sick.
And the disciples said to Jesus, "Where shall we find food for all these people to eat?"
But Andrew spoke up and said, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and..."
"Oh, sorry."
"What?"
"I've eaten them."
"You've what?"
"I've eaten my sardine rolls."
"But you can't."
"I have."
"No, you don't understand. You're supposed to offer your loaves and fishes so Jesus can feed the 5,000.
"Well, like I said, I'm sorry."
"Sorry? That hardly seems adequate."
"Look, it was my packed lunch, wasn't it? Okay, I was hungry."
"But what about the crowd?"
"What crowd?"
"This crowd in front of you. The 5,000 who are waiting to be fed."
"What about them?"
"Look, you stupid boy. It was your sardine rolls that were supposed to feed them."
"Yeah, well, you said it. They were my sardine rolls, and I've eaten them. Anyway, if this Jesus is such a hotshot, he ought to be able to pull a gourmet meal out of thin air."
"But the whole point of the story is that God wants us to use what we've got, however little,
to share around what he's given us."
"And you've just wolfed the lot."
"And the 5,000 are still hungry."
"Yeah, well, like I said, sorry."
Oh. We saw how last week how the aim of John, when he's highlighting these miracles of Jesus, is to make them sort of signposts. Like every single miracle is a signpost that points towards who Jesus is and forces people to make a choice. And what's so special about the one about the feeding of the 5,000 is that this is a miracle that Jesus involves other people in. He doesn't just do it himself. He involves other people. And that's the interesting part, because it's a challenge to all of us how much we want to be involved in miracles. We were told he looks up and sees this big crowd coming. They all think he's the new Moses, the prophet who's been promised. And they're all really excited. And remember, Moses had fed the children of Israel in the desert, and Jesus is about to feed them. So there's a huge symbolism as to who Jesus is in this miracle. But what Jesus does is he involves people. The first person he tries to involve is Philip, and he challenges Philip. Now, Philip is one of these people who's really good at numbers. You know, and so there'll be people here really good at numbers, really good at working out the detail of things. So he says to Philip, how are we going to feed these people? Immediately you can see Philip doing a calculation, getting out his mobile, getting out his calculator, you know, so all that sort of stuff. 8 months' wages wouldn't even be enough to give each one of these people a bite. So he's added up the 5,000, he's added up how much they're going to eat, he's added up how much it's going to cost, he's tabulated that with the number of days you need to work, and he's worked out that they still can't do it. But that's his gifting. That's what he's good at. And then Andrew comes along. Andrew's good at doing something completely different. He's good at simply just bringing people to Jesus. So Andrew comes along and he brings this wee boy. And fortunately, the wee boy hasn't eaten his sardine rolls by the time he comes. But Andrew's still not quite sure how far 5 loaves and 2 fish are going to spread with all these people. But it's enough for Jesus to use. And so we all know the story. He takes the bread and he gives thanks to God, his Father. In an act of faith, he breaks the bread and he starts to distribute it. And this amazing miracle happens. And when we looked at this in church, we thought of the sort of ripple of excitement spreading out. Along with the food came this amazing dawning on people that this man really is special. And it's what's happening really is a miracle, pointing to who he is. Right, so lessons from that. I said everything today is going to be very snappy, so if you blink, you miss it. 3 lessons from that, I think. The first of all, and this is one that for us all to really take seriously. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you are a Christian, then your very life is a miracle. You are living out the reality of the fact that you know how much God loves you. You know and have experienced the forgiveness that he offers us in Jesus and the opportunity to start again and the power of his Spirit in our lives, enabling us to do amazing things. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you are a Christian, you are a living miracle, a living signpost pointing other people to Jesus. So that's the first thing. Second thing is that we're all different. Like Andrew, like Philip, like the wee boy, we've all got something different to offer. And hopefully that slideshow that we showed earlier gives you some idea of all the different things that are already being offered by different people as part of our family here. You may be good with words. You may be good at caring for people. You may be good at baking cakes. You may be good with young people. You may be good at spotting someone who's on their own who needs looking after. You may be good with technical stuff. You may be good at counting. We're all different, but we've all got something that we can offer. And if we're willing to offer it, God will use it. And here's the third point. And there are only 3, because I'm a Presbyterian minister, and we can only count to 3. Third point is this. Imagine the blessing that day. Imagine how the crowd felt as they were part of this amazing thing that happened. The thrill of excitement that passed through them. Imagine how the wee boy felt as he watched what was happening to his sardine rolls. He's going, wow. And imagine how the disciples felt. Because Jesus didn't distribute on his own. They had to help. So they're part of this. Imagine how they felt. We're all different. We've all got different things that we can offer. But it's in the offering them to God that we are blessed. and the blessing is real. Now, each of you, as you came in, were given a wee man or woman and was asked if you had a pen. So here's something I want you to do right now. I want you to think about something that you're good at, that you really enjoy doing. Something you're good at, that you really enjoy doing. And you can chat to the folks next to you if you want about it, or you can just sit and think about it yourself. Something that you're good at and that you really enjoy doing. I'll give you just a minute to do that, okay? Something that you're good at and you really enjoy doing. And I want no skivers, okay? This applies to every single person here. Don't say, oh, well, no one gave me a little man. Find one. There are plenty of little men around, or women, and there are plenty of pens. Something that you're good at and you really enjoy doing. And you probably guessed what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to write your name and the thing that you're good at and you really enjoy doing on that wee person. Now, this is serious. Do that if you want to offer it to God. Do that if you want to offer it to God. Because it's only when we offer it to God that we're part of the miracle, that we're part of the blessing. So this is a serious thing. Do that if you want to offer it to God. Your name and the thing that you're good at that you enjoy doing on that wee person, please.